All right, I will bring this meeting to order at 6:03, and then we'll just go around the room and introduce ourselves. So Shannon Knight, I'm the chair.
Vicki Olson, vice chair.
Mary Baumgartner, council liaison.
Holly Yeshaw, member.
Tanner Woody, member.
Carly Anderson, member.
Sorry, Zoom people.
Bo Janeau, member.
And Charlie Anderson, member.
All right, and Darren Wise, staff liaison.
All right. And I don't see any public on?
No public.
And so then we have approval of meeting notes.
I can't remember what to say. I move to approve the meeting notes.
Okay, any second?
I'll second.
All right, so it's been moved and moved and seconded to approve the meeting notes. So all in favor, just say aye, raise your hand. And oppose? All right. Check that out, please.
Okay, can I interject here? Because this is a recorded meeting with virtual, everybody needs to visually say something. I mean, verbally say something so that the hand wave doesn't count. And also, we don't seem to have any streaming ability right now. So I'm trying to fix that problem, but so just to clarify that we need to make sure that we keep a good record in this meeting.
Okay, well, everyone was in favor, is that enough?
I abstain, but I will be in favor.
So what I don't know is who is ace?
No, everyone was in favor except for Tanner, who abstained.
Right, okay, I guess CA is Charlie Anderson. Okay, I didn't know that. All right, thanks.
Okay. Okay, so recommendation letter for our city planning. So this is based on what we've kind of been talking about for a while now about looking at that Hillsborough model and what they have that kind of gives the city a framework for how they go about engaging public on different projects. And so in order to do something similar, we would need the city to hire a consultant, right?
That's, yeah, that's probably the best option, yeah.
So so basically, we need to write a letter to city council to explain the reasoning behind it and why we think it's important and ask them for money, basically.
Are we discussing the letter? Are there any comments?
Yeah, so is this the actual, no, this would be the actual letter.
Yeah, so I put together just a quick memo on what current activities, what the city currently does in the different departments. And then just drafted a letter based on, sort of based on the Hillsborough.
It's the August 21st one, that one? Is that the one you?
Yes, August 21st is my memo, sorry, and then the second memo, the August 27th with Shannon's name on it.
Okay.
Would be the actual letter that would get forwarded to council.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at that Hillsborough engagement framework. Yeah, so we'd be looking at doing something similar to that, that sort of just provides a clear outline for staff on the expectations for engagement with the community on different types of projects.
Sorry, I just have a couple concerns. Hillsborough is very different than Westland. So are you using it as a framework, saying this is a good topic, or I like the outline, or this is something that we should consider? Are you taking it cut and paste, or how does this look?
Well, I think the point is to hire a consultant who would do all of the, right? work around that to see what is important to us as a city.
Okay.
And they would build it based on that, but it's.
So it's inspiration. So there's, so we've seen this thing. It's really cool. We really like it. Maybe we can do something here that is really cool. I'd like it too.
Okay.
That's my layman's.
Yeah, so yes, it wouldn't, it wouldn't be just a verbatim cut and paste. Yeah, because
I see a hand. Oh, yeah.
I also saw it more as of a guideline so that we wouldn't be starting at ground zero and we'd be starting ahead of the game a little bit. But I do think we do need to hire someone professional to handle it.
Well, because staff doesn't have time, right?
Yeah, it would have to be work programmed in somebody's somebody's FTE.
And are there any other cities doing this? We need to go back to Hillsborough, so I don't.
Hillsborough was just the one that I knew about and brought to the CCI, but yeah, I'm sure if we Googled it, you could find many, many cities across the country and the world probably that have engagement plans like this.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're all going to be somewhat similar. Just, you know, there's going to be nuances based on the demographics of the community and size of the community.
Oh, yes. Okay,
Charlie. Hi. So I did read through this, and I think it's a great framework, like we're saying. But Hillsborough is a much bigger, you know, the population is like 5 times larger, and so I'm wondering how we could do it, but in a smaller scale, because like even just the documents that I read through were so, you know, in depth. So I'm just wondering with hiring someone, but making it, you know, work for a population of, I don't know, what is it, 30,000 or something in Westland and not 130,000. So I'm wondering how we could make it a little bit more simple.
So I've seen in the community engagement plan outlines the various tools underneath planning projects. It's on the front page of city engagement efforts of the subject.
Which
a city engagement efforts.
The 21st memo,
yes.
Or the 27th?
The one, I don't know. Yeah, so it's, I was reading the subject here, which says the city engagement efforts. And I'm reading this paragraph here, which I think summarizes it for me. And it might be useful to bump that up just to see what we're trying to accomplish here. The last paragraph of the planning projects section.
The community engagement.
Yes. So it says specifically there what we're trying to accomplish with the request and why this is important.
Yeah. And so this is what we do right now is planning does this, which is the outline of the framework. The concern has always been that only planning does that. Now the city's gotten a lot better, I should say. City's gotten a lot better in the last year or so with it, the parks plan and being engaging and all these other things. But in the past, there's been times where like public works specifically would do these projects without kind of any public input. And so the goal here was to create a system that the city would have to follow, all these departments would have to follow to make sure that there's the right level of engagement on projects. And so citizens have a voice in everything, not just these big planning projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just creating that if this project is this size, this is the public process it needs to go through. You know, if it's repairing a pothole, it probably doesn't need to go to the level of having this big public engagement plan, right? But things like the roundabouts, you know, that maybe that should have had more engagement with the community, because that was a big change for everyone and had very people who knew about it, but the general public had no idea that these roundabouts were being so that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I like the verbiage there in that section specifically where it's talking about the gleaning. And it's just talking about the examples of what we're trying to do. The other ones provide examples as well. I know they're not all the same, but I just know that that verbiage stands out to me as what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and if you looked at the Hillsborough model, what I liked about the Hillsborough model is that it did have this kind of thing that talks about engagement is not information, like engagement, yeah, what community engagement is, like, go back up a little bit.
I really like that.
Engagement is not, it's not just like informing people. So engagement is actually having a two-way conversation there, two-way dialogue with people versus just, you know, sharing to people, we're going to do this and this is how long it's going to take and, you know.
I kind of like that they took a bit more democratic approach to it and said that there are some things that are a one-way street.
Yes.
But there are a lot of this that needs to be the two-way street.
Right.
And so.
Yeah, so that's why, like, the size of the project again. So, like, fixing a pothole is probably a one-way thing. Like, we're going to close your street today because we're fixing this pothole, right? But I'm sure there are those people that think they need to know way in advance about the pothole we fixed.
Well, and I laugh because, you know, no matter how much information you put out there, there's always going to be that one person who didn't get it. And that's going to be the person who's going to be like, why did you change the bus stop? And it just makes me laugh. I'm sorry.
Right. And I think there is something in there about the plan that, like, you can't hit everybody. So.
And it would be that pothole where they're like, why didn't you tell me you were going to be fixing the pothole in front of my street? I was trying to take a nap, you know?
Yes, exactly. So I really liked how I went through the different steps of, like, you know, this is this kind of engagement, this is this kind of engagement, and kind of had levels of engagement. Because, like, that's, I think, important. So I think one of the things they do is, go a little bit more. Go back a little bit. One more, there's a little chart there. So like this would be like what staff would go through essentially, which is outline the project, determine what level of engagement needs to be done for it, look at who the stakeholders are, create a plan, engage the community, evaluate, and then report back. So,
and who would decide the determining number, step number two?
Staff.
Okay.
Probably, right?
Yeah, then you have this here, right?
Yeah.
It's a little chart about what level of engagement is expected for what type of project.
But, like, we could have ours, you know, go with, you know, more detail if we wanted to, I suppose, or, you know, if it's this kind of a project that's going to impact so many people, it's a different level, and if it's going to impact one street, you know, again. So we would, if we got the money from council to do this, I'm assuming we would work closely with that consultant to help develop.
So the way I drafted your recommendation letter, that was what I put in there as a recommendation. It's the proposal to work with the CCI to create an engagement framework document.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, one kind of comment. So on this procedure, this guideline we're creating, how much of the DEI policies are we putting in here? Because is that, are we focusing on that? Or is this more guidelines for, it's confusing to me.
Well, I think that would be once we get into the nitty gritty of it and have the consultant, then that could be a determination of, you know, working with the consultant on how much is important and probably direction from council, like how much is, because I know it's still a big council priority. So, you know, the Hillsborough obviously has a more diverse community, but we have a lot of things here where we could involve tribes and that kind of stuff. And that might be important to add to the framework.
What's the B? D-I-E-D-E-I-B. Belonging.
Belonging.
Oh, thank you. I've heard DEI, I've heard the B.
Oh, yeah, it's right there. Diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. Right after.
What's the next, yeah, page?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, belonging mission, the hyperlink. Do we want to put some kind of verbiage in of appropriately scaling the Hillsborough project with that?
It should be a guideline.
I think it's just a guideline.
I just don't know if like if you guys felt like it needed to be explicitly stated.
Yeah, it just says we
need to scale this for less land.
Yes, because that's a concern. We're so different than Hillsborough. It should be a guideline. They should look at other examples as well. I mean, I guess I should have looked.
Well, yeah, and that could, like again, once you get the consultant, you can tell them we want to see other examples.
So we have to get the money too. We don't even know if that's
it. Well, that's possible. That's what this is. This is asking for the money. So we can't do anything until we get the money.
We might not have money.
That is true.
Is there any sense of what we're talking about as far as an amount?
Is it
in there? I didn't see it.
Yeah.
What's your best
guess?
50?
I'm thinking 100, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It all depends on the scale of the project, right? And your previous comment, so we could take out the Hillsborough engagement framework and just say the CCI reviewed and discussed other cities' community engagement frameworks.
Yeah, because we want him to maybe he looks at this and he finds something else that's really cool that we don't even know about. I mean, I'd hate to pigeon a hole us into this.
Yeah, and I know some of the stuff that Hillsborough has, like we obviously don't have the money to do like they do, like from their website and technology standpoint of the stuff that they do. So
can we put that EG, City of Hillsborough engagement, or that also just be
what's EG?
For example, like this is the one. So it's just, it is stated there in the email. If they do want to look at one,
we can just pass it along to council also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we put it in their packet. When this is presented, would it come back with, if it was approved, then obviously framework of amount, because that was sort of decipher the scope, right?
Yeah.
Have an amount because. $5,000. Yeah, that would be totally different. To make sure it would be feasible
if it's worth
the funds available, right? Because you wouldn't, if there's only so much funds available and that fund amount is what's offered and it's way less than developing, what would?
So typically, right, the way it works is council will decide whether this is a priority for them. Mm-hmm. And if it is, then they'll direct the city manager to come up with some options, right? And then if it's just not gonna work financially, then probably, unless staff could do it on her own, right? I mean, that's typically, sorry, I'm speaking for council, but.
No, you're.
Yeah, typically that's how it's done, right? If it's a council priority, the council will direct the city manager who works for the council to, you know, come back with a white paper options on how we can address this and then see if any of them is gonna fit into the schedule and the budget and all that kind of stuff.
You go back to this.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
So if they have any questions, because we can't see them anymore.
I hope so.
Yeah. Are you guys, now we can see you. Do you guys have any questions or comments? Charlie or Bo?
No,
I'm good. I read through everything and it all sounds really, really good. Like a good idea.
Yeah, and so the budget cycle will be coming up in the spring when the budget committee starts meeting. So if this is something that is a council priority and the money can't be found now, potentially through the budget cycle. Yeah.
And do we, I feel like we're already making improvements in this vein too. Just the, I always get the URL wrong, but my Westland.
Your Westland, yeah.
I always say my Westland. It's not every single time. And I'm like, what is it? It's your Westland. Okay. But I feel like that's helped quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The interactive maps have helped a lot. And I'm a fan of our current level personally. So I will say where I do like this, I am also just happy seeing what we've currently done.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, it's been a lot better. But what this would do is ensure that it stays consistent going forward, if there's changes in staff and that kind of stuff.
That's a city manager. Point. Yeah.
Because you want a formal document on file.
Right.
It signals to staff council's commitment to this, right? And then it clearly shows council is committed to engagement, and here's the expectations for staff to engage with the community.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so should we actually vote on it?
Yeah, unless you have any other changes you want to.
We're voting on the
letter,
the August 27th letter.
Correct.
Okay. Recommendations.
What did you change?
I just said remove the City of Hillsborough community engagement framework and just say CCI reviewed and discussed community engagement plans at several meetings.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
That sounds good.
I do have one question. Do we have an idea of what the budget is for this position? Or what it's going to cost to hire someone for this?
No, not right now. Again, this letter will go to council, and if council thinks this is a priority and a good idea, I would expect that they would ask the city manager to bring back a couple of options of how to address it.
Okay.
And then that's sort of where it would get determined whether it needs to be done now, possibly roll it into the budget cycle next year, or if we can cobble together money to do it.
Okay, understood. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, does someone want to make a motion?
Are we going to send the email or just approve?
Just approve the letter to go out to council. So just approve that this letter on changes.
Yeah. I'll make a motion that we approve the document to send out, as well as the sending out of the recommendation for citywide engagement plan.
Mm-hmm. Can I second that?
Right.
So Tanner moved and Charlie seconded. And I guess we should all say verbally that we are.
Can I get a point of clarification? Is that with the amended changes that?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that with the amended changes Darren's going to make.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Member Knight.
Yes.
Vicki. Yes.
Member.
Oh, Holly Deshaw.
Member Deshaw.
Yes.
Member Woody.
Yep.
All right. Member Ganell.
Yes.
And Member Anderson.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Moving on.
All right. So yeah, I will. I will edit this, get the draft off of it, send it to Shannon to sign, and then we can get it to council.
We are on briefing for climate-friendly, equitable communities and energy.
All right, so I don't know. Well, that's not true. I was here for the housing production strategy. So I'm going to start with the climate friendly and equitable communities project we've got going on right now. So I'm just going to call it CFEC because it's much easier for me to say CFEC than that, that string of words. So CFEC was born out of an executive order by the governor's office in 2020, directing all of the state departments to address climate change, and particularly transportation emissions around climate change, because the state was lagging behind their goal to reduce climate pollution over the 50-year period. So the state's planning arm, the Land Conservation and Development Commission, which is appointed by the governor's office, they went into a rulemaking process with the Department of Land Conservation and Development, which we constantly work with for land use planning issues in the state. They went through a rulemaking process, and over the course of 2 years, they developed a set of rules, which were then adopted by the Land Conservation and Development Commission, and so adopted into Oregon administrative rules. There are four components to it. One is parking reform. Two, preparing for the electric vehicle future. Three, planning for future transportation options, and then four, adopting a Metro 2040 growth map town center boundaries. So this project that we're working on right now is addressing the first two, parking reform and preparing for the electric vehicle future. So for the parking reform component of it, the city had a policy choice to make. One, eliminate minimum parking requirements for development. So currently, the city of West Lynn and most other jurisdictions, if you come in and you want to build a retail building, you have to build one parking space for every, I think it's 240 square feet, right? It's the minimum you have to build. So if you think about shopping centers around, and they always have giant parking lots, and most of the spaces never get used except around the holidays when everyone's shopping. That's why. They didn't do it because they wanted to do it. They did it because we made them do it, right? And that's a cost that they have to bear then to build the parking and then maintain it over all those years. So our choices were eliminate those parking mandates or eliminate them where we're required to eliminate them, and then implement a series of regulations and programs for the other areas of the city. So we've been working with the Planning Commission over the course of three work sessions, and presented them the different areas where we have to eliminate the mandate. So the TriMet bus line 35, which runs down Highway 43, we had to eliminate parking mandates within 1/2 mile of that corridor because it was our most frequent transit corridor. So that started in December, basically January 1st of 2023, that we, 2023. Yeah. That if someone were to develop in that corridor, we could not mandate that they build any parking, right? And then I'm going to skip. Well, I'll stay on track here. So that was one area where we had no choice. We cannot mandate minimum parking standards. And then you got into options 2 and 3, which if you didn't eliminate it for the entire community, then option 2 was these town center boundaries that are on the Metro 2040 growth map. We could not. Mandate parking in those areas and 1/4 mile from those areas, which basically covers the Bolton commercial area and the Willamette commercial area. And we wouldn't be able to mandate parking in there. Or if we decided not to go that route, then we would have to do a paid parking district in those two areas. And I believe it was, but we still wouldn't be able to require parking for commercial development and only half of a parking space for residential development. So essentially it was eliminating it and then requiring us to then put in parking, paid parking in those two areas. And so based on the conversations with the Planning Commission, really didn't feel there was much of a appetite for paid parking districts in the Willamette and Bolton. The one question they had was you know, what would the developers do if this, if we eliminated mandates? So we contacted the four big commercial property owners in town here. I went and met with each of them, and all of them said the same thing, right? We would not be able to get a project funded unless we can show how it's parked, right? So that's part of the financing of these large commercial buildings, is someone's not going to just give them, you know, millions, possibly hundreds of millions of dollars, and then, you know, it fails because they didn't provide parking for people to get there.
So they're saying they would provide it no matter
what. Yes, yeah, yeah. And they're supportive of removing it because they have found, you know, they have portfolios, you know, multiple buildings of different sizes, and they found what they feel that they need to support their buildings, and the not just Westland, but all jurisdictions usually require them to build way more parking than what they actually feel like they need. And again, it's just a cost burden that gets passed on to the tenants, and then the tenants pass it on to the customers, right? So they three of the four sent letters to the Planning Commission saying that they support removing them because they would still provide the parking, because one, the financing behind it, and then second, the tenants demand it, right? No one's going to lease space if they don't know that their customers can get to them. Let's see. Yeah, so that was one of the big things that the Planning Commission wanted to know. And then the biggest component of it was with the town centers and the Highway 43 bus line, 90% of the city's commercial area was already covered with no parking. We'd be no parking. So if we made the decision to not eliminate them for the entire city, only this center up here would be required to have parking moving forward. So Planning Commission felt that was, you know, it wasn't worth it to go through the programmatic changes that we would have to do in order to just mandate the parking up here, because the rest of the city is basically single family, right? So, you know, our experience is when single family homes get built, they get built with a garage. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So Planning Commission recommended just removing all mandates. Took it to council. Council supported that recommendation, and now so we're into the development code amendments. At the first meeting with them last Wednesday, they just requested a couple of small changes. Going to make those, go back to them September 18th. We should have the final package solidified at that point, and then public hearing, Planning Commission October, and then we get to council in October, November for final decision making on it. So it's going to be a big change. Staff, we don't really feel like it's going to be a visual change. I mean, the city's mostly built out. There's not a whole lot of developable land left. And, you know, based on being in a suburban environment where pretty dependent on cars out here, that they'll still provide parking. And big enough numbers that it shouldn't be an impact.
So for I'm reading the, what was it, the flexible commute benefit program for 50 plus employee businesses. That's up here. This is what you're kind of talking about. Like, there's a business up here with 50 plus employees.
No, so that would have been, so if the city decided not to eliminate parking mandates for the entire city,
yeah,
then we started to get into those options two and options three.
Gotcha.
So we would have had to make a choice. And that was one of the options that we could have implemented.
Option A or option B?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand now. I was wondering, because I didn't, I'm thinking that there's a couple other businesses in town with 50 plus employees.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so that would have, yeah. So if we would have went down that route, then we would have had to start making choices about which programs we were going to implement. Again, we would have had to have implemented a paid parking system in Willamette and Fulton if we wanted to go that route. So.
What part of? Yeah, what part of the memorandum or whatever it is of in this it would have us do parking mandates or whatever it might be up here then? So what would change up?
I thought you got, are you getting rid of all?
So they got, decided to do.
Nothing up here.
Yeah, we're just going to get rid of all.
Okay.
And leave it up to the businesses.
Okay.
And the construction, yeah. Let them decide the thing.
Gotcha, okay.
Okay.
Yep, yep. So that was the policy recommendation by planning commission. Council supported it when we took it to them. And so now we're in the code amendment process of eliminating all references to required parking.
Okay.
All right, and then second component of that is the preparing for the electric vehicle future. That was something else that came out of this that the city has been implementing since March of 2023. We haven't had any developments that met the criteria to have to do this, but so moving forward, any multifamily or mixed use project or commercial project of a certain size has to install the conduit out to a certain percentage of the parking spaces. So at some point in the future, EV charging stations could be hooked up and not have to retrofit everything because the conduit would be there to run the electric up to the source.
So they don't have to actually put the parking spaces in, just that's, the infrastructure.
That's correct. They don't have to actually install the chargers. They just have to make sure the infrastructure is there.
And this is for new development.
Yes.
Too. So it's
This is all focused on new development moving forward. And then the other two items, planning for the transportation options, that's something that will be done through an update of the city's transportation system plan, which there's no timetable for that right now, but they've implemented a whole lot of new rules around how you update your transportation system plan. So that will happen at some point in the future, I'm guessing probably in the next 5 or 6 years, whenever we would get funding to do that. And then the last thing, adopting the Metro 2040 Transit Center boundaries. I'm not sure if all of you are familiar with the 2040 growth map, but it's the entire metro region and has regional centers, town centers, corridors, main streets, and it was done in the mid-90s. And the whole point was to focus growth inward instead of continuing to have to expand the urban growth boundary. And so in the regional centers and town centers, they're intended to be denser, and then there's money available from Metro to help plan for and develop those areas. So we will adopt those two town centers. Again, one is around Willamette Main Street. The other one is around the
Fulton,
the central village.
It must be, as says, Fulton neighborhood commercial area.
Yeah, what, yeah, what, whatever the commercial center there is called.
The central village.
Central village, yeah. Yep, so that has to be done by the end of 2025, so we have a little over a year to do that.
I think Charlie had a question.
Yes.
No? Oh, okay. Yeah. I want to say that you look really, that looks really comfortable, whatever you're sitting in.
It is really comfortable.
All right, so that's my quick explanation. Do you have any questions now, or do you have any questions you think of later? Happy to answer them if you give me a call or send me an email.
I do, and it's a small one that could be big. Because I'm just really confused about what's going on with the urban growth boundary and the election cycle. And if it's like, are we changing it? Are we not changing it? I know that's not a question for you. Like, in terms of our
here in West Lynn
metro?
In West Lynn, no, but I just saw the recommendation from the metro staff to the metro, well, I guess it's MPAC or MPAC, that, yeah, they're recommending the Sherwood West urban reserve.
Yeah, I saw something about that too. Yeah.
Oh, Sherwood the city?
Sherwood West, yeah. So there's an urban reserve outside of Sherwood that's the recommendation to bring that into the urban growth boundary.
Okay.
The urban growth report is being finalized right now. It has to be adopted by Metro Council by the end of the year. That's when they make their decision on whether the urban growth boundary gets expanded. So that's the recommendation.
I feel like there's nothing in the news about it that's like easy to find personally. That's just my take. So I thought I'd ask you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
that's my understanding at this point. It's going to be the recommendation.
I would just say, not that I am against what Planning Commission said or did or whatever, any of that, but I will say, I feel those were kind of significant changes that didn't have much public process involved in it. I don't think anybody went to those.
Oh, are you talking about what we were just exposed to?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I comments like, I've never heard of this stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that people might have had, I think the result might have been the same. Because I think it's true. Most of the people don't want paid parking, although just getting a parking ticket when I was in LA, I was like, this is really financially viable for a $50 ticket.
Parking ticket is just how much it costs to park there, really.
Yeah.
Just way out there.
Well, we'll say
no pay parking.
That it makes spaces turn over for the businesses. It's really helpful for businesses because it makes people get out of those spaces and free them up for other people. So from a business standpoint, paid parking is great. I think with these other changes, like I think especially like the town center boundaries and stuff like that, that was kind of the last time they did the Bolton, the waterfront district planning. That was part of
the concept plan.
That was a big like hot topic for some of those people. And then I know that the Savannah Oaks people have their very strong opinion about being called Willamette Town Center. So I just think that stuff should have a little bit more higher level of public engagement when you get to that stuff.
Yeah. So that'll be something we do next year, is adopt that. But yeah, again, it comes back to your sharing information about versus engaging, because we don't have a choice. We have to adopt the boundaries.
Yeah.
And then I guess we could not adopt the boundaries. And then
well,
see what
no,
happens.
But I mean, if there's like input on where the boundary is drawn, is there going to be any input on that kind of stuff? Because I'm sure there's always little decision making parts of it, right? So.
My understanding is we just can just adopt the boundary as it's on the map.
Okay.
Because if we wanted to change it, then we'd have to go through some kind of lengthy planning process to change the boundary.
It looks like there's the public hearing. Is that a good point for people for public comment at that point?
For the CFEC?
Yeah. October 2nd and 16th.
Yep. Yeah.
So maybe that's something viable too.
And that's on just the parking situation.
Yeah, that's
right?
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe there's something to put out of, hey, this thing's coming up and this is your opportunity to make a public comment about it.
Yeah, just maybe, just putting information out there that this is what's being decided on and this is the meeting to do it at.
I think it's in the newsletter, isn't it? Did you guys put it in the newsletter?
I believe it was,
okay. All right, and then the housing production strategy.
All right, so the housing production strategy is another state legislature created this process. So in 2019, House Bill 2003 was adopted by the state legislature, requiring this all cities of a certain size to develop and adopt a housing capacity analysis, which ours was adopted by the city council October of last year. So it's been in place almost a year now. And what it does is it projects needed housing for the next 20 years, and then compares the buildable land. So what land is available to build that housing on, and then are there discrepancies? So in this case, we were deficient in multifamily residential zone land. So council rezoned some land multifamily residential. So that was the housing capacity analysis, and that projects need. And as you can, most of you can probably guess, the highest need was for moderate and low income housing, right? So now the city, since we've adopted the housing capacity analysis, now we're required to do a housing production strategy, which is a follow-up that makes, has cities identify the tools, actions, or policies that the city will take over the next 6 years to address critical housing need. So the four primary areas you look at are land supply, right? Is there enough land within the urban growth boundary for the community? Should we rezone land to get the types of housing that our capacity analysis has projected the community needs? Two, policy and code changes. Something that a lot of communities have started using are incentives for developers to include affordable or workforce housing in projects, right? So City of Portland is one that I use all the time because I just know it. So if you could build a quadplex on a property, the City of Portland will actually allow you to build a sixplex and go higher if two of the units are affordable to people making a certain percentage of the annual median income of the area, right? I believe in Portland it's 60%. I could be wrong, don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it is. And so it incentivizes the developers to actually produce workforce housing by giving them that incentive. So that's one that's being looked at by a lot of communities. Three are incentives, primarily financial incentives. So there's different programs in the state around tax abatement or tax exemptions that the city can look at and decide whether we want to go that route. Then there's then the fourth one is funding sources and programs. So one that we've already utilized is tax increment financing. So we've adopted a tax increment financing zone along the waterfront area up into Willamette. So you can use some of those funds to develop housing, affordable housing. And then there's also construction excise taxing programs where you can put a fee on every building permit, and then you collect that money and use that to help fund affordable housing projects. So those are the four types of strategies we're looking at. So if the CCI, those of you who were on at the time, you recommended a working group to council. Council appointed the working group. They met in June, just sort of their warm-up meeting, and looked at the it's called the contextualized housing capacity analysis. So it was just a renewed look at the housing capacity analysis with some additional information. And now the consultant team we're working with is developing a draft list of strategies for the community to consider based on their understanding of the community and then our feedback. The working group will meet in October to look at that list. We're trying to get it to around 20. And they will look at that list and try to distill it down to the top 5, 6, 7 that we feel we could actually try to accomplish in the next 6 years. You don't want to have too many strategies because then the state's going to come back and ask you why you didn't implement them all, right? So October, they'll look at the big list, start distilling it down. And then they'll meet again in November to get it down to the final, their final recommended list. And then we have a meeting scheduled with the Planning Commission and City Council in November. So the City Council and Planning Commission can look at that, that list coming out of the working group, make sure it's all aligned with their priorities. And then the consultant will produce a draft plan, which we'll put out in January for public comments. The working group will meet again in February for final comment on the draft plan. And council and planning commission will meet again in March for a final look at it, to accept comment, review the comments that we've heard. And then it has to be adopted by end of June of next year. And then that sort of starts the clock of the city then having to start working on these strategies that we've adopted. And then 6 years, we update the housing capacity analysis and update the housing production strategy. So the state legislature has really put all cities on notice that housing is an important goal to produce more housing. More housing that's affordable to low and moderate income families, and that's our goal with this right now. So if you want to engage, just let me know and I can provide you information on how to engage.
So the strategies that come out of that will then go to council.
Yes, so ultimately it goes to council for adoption.
People could give testimony to council then too.
Yeah,
we'll didn't like what came out of that.
Yeah, we'll take it through the planning commission first. Okay. Yeah.
So these meetings in October, I mean, if I just wanted to, I had a, you know, half an hour, just I could be able to click in it.
Yeah, so they're, yeah, so they're open to the public. So okay. We'll they'll be on WebEx just like this. So you okay. Could you could ask for an invite, or we'll stream it to YouTube also. Okay. If you wanted to just watch it.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. And then the YouTube videos are posted to the city's meetings page, so you can watch it later also.
Oh, okay. All right. Any questions?
This is another thing that has to be adopted by June. Is that right? Is that a date?
So the CFAC amendments have to be adopted by the end of this calendar year. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of why we're in a hustle mode. Yeah. Yeah. And then the housing production strategy has to be adopted by end of June,
okay.
Next year. So right now we're targeting probably May.
Yep, that's
the council.
Yeah, that's what it says. I wasn't sure if June was
the
date cutoff.
Yeah, it's the drop dead date. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we try to get it in the process a little sooner than that, so we're not making council make a decision at the 11th hour.
All right.
But again, yeah, happy to chat with anybody or provide you information if you want it. Just let me know.
All right. So moving on, CCI announcement. Anybody have anything they wanted to tell the group? Or topics for the future?
My wife's still pregnant. She's still having a baby around October or November. So just a reminder. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your life's fine.
Yeah.
Your life is going to change.
Yeah. September 7th is our party at Marriott's Town. Everyone's invited. Oh. I should have brought thanks.
Oh, an invite?
Yeah, 1 p.m. Now, all West Lincoln show up. All right.
And staff has anything?
So I think the biggest announcement is the two new TriMet bus routes started running yesterday. Nice. So if any of you don't know, or anybody at home doesn't know, there's two new routes. One route goes, I don't know the numbers of the routes, I'm sorry. Starts in downtown Lake Oswego, comes out McBay, up Rosemont, down Salamo, down to downtown Willamette, and then just circles back and goes back up to downtown Lake Oswego.
Oh, so it connects the two communities.
Yes.
Is it 104?
Yeah, and right now it's only running on the hour during peak times. So it doesn't come that often. But.
Well, they need to get clients or people on the bus once it starts filling up. They'll probably add more.
Yeah.
Is it filling up?
I don't know.
153, not 104.
153.
That's the bus number?
Yeah, that's the new one. Wait, yes.
Yeah, and then the 154 that went from downtown Oregon City across 205 down Leon Falls Drive, circled around Austin, and went back to Oregon City. So that went away, and the 76 bus that starts in Beaverton goes down to Tualatin, now continues on 205, and it gets off at 10th Street. Mm-hmm. And then that's the connection between the 153 that Tanner just mentioned, that from Lake Oswego. So you can connect to those two buses. And then it goes down Lamp Falls Drive over to Oregon City Transit Center and then reverses course and goes back out to Tualatin and up to Beaverton. So it creates a couple of direct connections that weren't easy.
This is great news. I take the bus. I take 35 from like Market of Choice downtown every day for work, almost every day. And it's about an hour. So this, you know, it's nice to be able to just to go downtown. And anyways, it'll be a little bit quicker. It's nice to have that connection. So good news. Thank you.
Yeah. So it was a big change and good change for the city.
Because 35 is not going to Oregon City anymore.
No, it will still go over there.
It does? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it just creates more connectivity. So
okay,
if you brought the 35 to Oregon City, now you could actually get to Tualatin, where maybe previously you couldn't.
Gotcha. Right? Okay.
And you can get up here now, right? Other than that, I don't have any big announcements.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, turn us a little early at 7 o'clock. Good seeing everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.